কত দিনে কৈলা প্রভু ভঙ্গে থে গমন, যাহান যায় তাহান লয়াই নাম সংকীর্তন, কত দিনে কৈলা প্রভু ভঙ্গে থে গমন, যাহান যায় তাহান লয়াই নাম সংকীর্তন। কত দিনে কৈলা প্রভু ভঙ্গে থে গমন, যাহান যায় তাহান লয়াই নাম সংকীর্তন। After a few days, Koila did Prabhu, the Lord, Bangete in East Bengal, Gamana, touring, Yahan Yaya, wherever he goes, Tahan there, Lau Yaya, induces Nam Sankirtan, the Sankirtan movement. After some days, the Lord went to East Bengal, and wherever he went, he introduced the Sankirtan movement. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in disciplic succession can defeat all kinds of learned scholars, scientists, and philosophers in arguments, thus establishing the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, their main business as preachers is to introduce Sankirtan everywhere. Simply to defeat scholars and philosophy is not the occupation of a preacher. Preachers must simultaneously introduce the Sankirtan movement, for that is the mission of Chaitanya cult. Vidyara prabhava dege chamatkara chite shata shata praduya asila gila padite. Struck with wonder by the influence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intellectual prowess, Many hundreds of students came to the Lord and began studying under his direction.
Sedesi vipranama mishra tapana nischaye kurite nari sadya sadana sadana.
In East Bengal, there was a Brahmin named Tapan Mishra who could not ascertain the objective of life or how to attain it. Purport. One must first ascertain the object of life and then understand how to attain it. The Krishna consciousness movement is pointing out to everyone that the object of life is to understand Krishna. And to attain that goal of life, one must practice Krishna consciousness. Following the methods prescribed by the Goswamis with reference to the authoritative Shastras and Vedas.
Bahu Shastri Bahu Vakya Chite Brahmahoy Sadhya Sadhana Shrestha Nahoy Nishchai.
If one becomes a bookworm, reading many books and scriptures and hearing many commentaries and the instructions of many men, this will produce doubt within his heart. One cannot in this way ascertain the real goal of life. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.13.8 it is said,
Grantan naivabhyased bahun navyakyam upayunjita.
One should not read many books, nor should one try to make a profession of reciting many books, especially if one is a devotee. One must give up the ambition to be a learned scholar, and in this way earn a worldly reputation and financial facilities. If one diverts his attention to studying many books, he cannot fix his mind in devotional service, nor can he understand many scriptures, for they are full of grave statements and meanings. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives his opinion that those who are attracted to study many kinds of literature concerning various subject matters, especially fruitive activities and philosophical speculation, are deprived of unalloyed devotional service because of their splayed attention. Man has a general tendency toward fruitive activities, religious ritualistic ceremonies, and philosophical speculation. A living entity thus bewildered since time immemorial does not understand the real goal of life, and thus his activities in life are wasted. Innocent persons misled in this way are deprived of unalloyed Krishna bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Tapan Mishra is a vivid example of such a person. He was a learned scholar, but he could not ascertain what the goal of life is. Therefore, he was given a chance to hear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatan Goswami. Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Tapan Mishra is especially significant for persons who loiter here and there collecting books and reading none of them. Thus becoming bewildered regarding the aim of life.
Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurumilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakanvitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostate, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna. Yesterday, we discussed Lord Chaitanya being entrusted by his father to the school of Gangadas Pandit, a great teacher. And Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us the beginning of the Lord's Kaishor Lila was when he was 11 years old. At that time, he became a teacher at 11. Such a teacher that even the senior most scholars of Navadvip could not fathom his intelligence. Nobody knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own Yogamaya potency. But yet, he displayed such inconceivable knowledge that nobody could fathom it. He would debate even with the greatest professors. And please understand that Navadvip was the high seat of learning for the whole of India. The greatest scholars in the nation were living there. And there were not just thousands, there were millions of students that were coming from all direction. Because if you had a certificate of learning from one of the pundits of Navadvip, you were on the top of the class of scholars, pundits. And this 11-year-old Nimai, he had his students. And his students could even defeat the greatest professors. That is how he empowered them. He would challenge someone to an argument. He would defeat their argument. Then he would defeat his own argument and establish his opponent's argument. And then he would defeat his opponent's argument and reestablish his own argument. And then he would defeat how he defeated his own argument and establish his opponent's argument. And his opponents would just... they would surrender. Who is this person? It was incredible. And it was around that time that the Digvijay Pandit came to Navadvip, the world champion scholar who had a certificate that every other great known pundit,
He was the world champion. And Nimai defeated him. But interestingly, every single scholar that Nimai would defeat, they would always feel good about it. Because he displayed no arrogance, no condescending nature. He would defeat them with such respect, with such gentleness, with such gracefulness, that they would actually enjoy being defeated. Now that is miraculous. Keshav Kashmiri, the world champion, said, only God could do that. Because please understand, these scholars were not bhaktas. They were not devotees who were trinadapi sunichena tarori vasi. They were just the opposite. Their whole motivation and purpose of gaining great scholarship was to get reputation, distinction, prestige. That was the most important thing. And they would also get some wealth. But wealth was secondary in those days. Prestige, pratishta, fame was something very great. Where people honor you, people respect you, people want to study under you. And they also give you gifts, so you take it and you enjoy. So these people were some of the proudest people on the planet Earth. With every syllable of wisdom that they would digest, it would nourish their ahankar, their ego. They weren't seeking spiritual liberation. They were seeking the fame and prowess of learning. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. And here the Lord, Nimai, if they knew he was the Lord, that would be another thing. But he was 11, 12, 13-year-old boy in those days. He was just growing up. And these people had gone to the highest institutions for 20 years and studied and teaching, and they had thousands of students, and now they're in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and they're grave scholars. And this 11-year-old boy is defeating them totally. But he does it with such gentleness, with such love, with such grace, that they enjoy being defeated by him. Such a miracle. That's the power of the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We read how he was, when he was about 16, we talked about this yesterday, he was married to Lakshmi Devi. And in his marriage, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he displayed the perfect ideal example of how householders could live. The primary quality that Lord Chaitanya personified is that of seva, selfless service. Because Nimai was a Brahmin, and his students would give him gifts, but most of them were Brahmin students too. And even today, for many years I was lecturing in the colleges of America, to some extent even now. We would have these vegetarian cooking classes. And we'd serve out a feast after the class. And some colleges, once a week we'd have these classes, we would get 200 to 300 students coming. And I don't know how many of them came to learn how to cook from me, but they loved the prasad. And 99.9% of all of them said it's the best food we get all week. Because traditionally students do not have much money.
generally the parents pay their tuition and all that, then their rent, but they don't give them much money beyond that. Because if they do, God knows what they'll do with it. Especially in the Western countries. Maybe even more especially in India. Not to speak of Indians that go to Western countries. So these are all Brahmin students, millions of them. And obviously they don't have much money when they come to Navadvip. They come to learn. So Nimai was not a rich person. He was a Brahmin himself. His family was very simple economically. He just had a simple house. But yet, whatever gifts were given to Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya, practically all of it, he would give it away to other people. He was magnanimous. He was unselfish. He was extremely charitable. This was his way of showing what grihastha should be. If he saw any poor person, wherever he saw them, he would give them rice or food or cloth or some money. Whatever he had, he would give. Somebody's in need, I have it, you take it. So he was charitable to the poor. People may say we shouldn't do that, but Lord Chaitanya did it. He was charitable to those in need. This is very strongly explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And how much he also served and facilitated the Brahmins, those who were distributing transcendental knowledge. And his mother and wife, Lakshmi and Devi and Sachi Mata, they were just like him. Whatever they had, they wanted to share it with others. Because, you see, the Lord is seeing from a perspective of transcendence, aham bija pratapita. Krishna says, I am the father of all living beings. I am the mother of all living beings. So in this sense, everyone is our family. Not only all races and all castes and all colors and all human society, but all living beings. The animals, the birds, they're all our family. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani kavihasti suni jaiva supake ja pandita samadarshana. Transcendental knowledge is actually exhibited in its real sense when we are able to see every living being with equal vision. When we see the Paramatma Krishna in everyone's heart. And when we see that the jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who says, aham bija pratapita. So on one level, he's the father of all living beings, and he's providing for all his children, whoever they may be, with whatever he has. But especially in the role of a devotee, he was seeing everyone as his brothers and sisters. Compassion. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya would meet some sannyasis. He loved to serve sannyasis. And he would invite them to his house. Describes on several occasions, he would just be out and he would meet 20 sannyasis. Now, for those of you who know sannyasis, they have a tendency to eat much more than anyone else. Especially, when I lived with sadhus, I was a 19-year-old boy and I couldn't even eat a portion of what these 70 and 80-year-old sadhus were eating. But anyways, he would just tell Sachi, he would send a message to Sachi Devi, 20 sannyasis are coming in 1 hour. And Sachi Devi would tell Vishlakshmi and Lakshmi, we don't have any food in the house. You know, they were a simple family. It's not that they had stocks. They just had what for the family for every day. So Sachi Devi, well, she just went to the kitchen to see what is there. And by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, because Lakshmi Devi and Sachi Devi had the will to do it, the Lord provides. She, just when she was walking into the kitchen, some guest would come and say, you know, your son Nimai is such a good teacher, I want to give this bhoga to you. And there'd be all kinds of sabjis and rices and grains and spices and everything. Enough for a big feast for 20 people. What was the Lord teaching us? Krishna tells in Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana parubharshate tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. That if we just surrender to Krishna, the Lord will provide, he will sustain and protect what we have, and whatever we lack, the Lord will provide. If we have the will. That's the greatest deficiency in expanding the movement of bhakti. The will to expand. If we have the will, Krishna can miraculously facilitate. But if we just think, I don't have, so, you know, let's just maintain, then it will be extremely difficult even to maintain. Krishna wants to see our will. If we really want to give to others, Krishna provides. This is spiritual mathematics. Srila Prabhupada explains spiritual mathematics is like that. That Krishna provides what we lack if we have the will without duplicity. And he was a grihastha who just wanted to serve. He invited 20 sannyasis, sent them home. There was no food in the house. Sachimata says, all right, I'm willing to, whatever we have, I'm going to do it. And Lakshmi Devi said, I'm ready. And they go into the kitchen, and everything's there. And they would cook and cook and cook and make a wonderful feast. And Lord Chaitanya would come, and all the sannyasis came, and they assembled in his house. And he would personally serve them with sweet words and with such loving hospitality. They would be totally happy. And then he would ask, is there anything else you would like? Is there anything else you want? How can I serve you? And he would do anything. He's the god. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune, and he is the menial servant of those who have nothing materially, but who have Krishna. And even common people. If anyone came by his house, he would invite even the common people in and give them such hospitality. And it's explained herein how whatever one may have or not have, there is no impediment to giving hospitality. If you have much, you can give much. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught in this, it's explained in this particular chapter, that if someone comes to your home and you don't have anything, you can offer sweet words. You can apologize, I'm sorry I don't have anything. But we could offer the love of our heart. And that love of the heart can be expressed through, if you don't have a chair in your house, you can give a straw mat. If you don't have all kinds of nice foods, you can offer some water. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells in Gita, if one offers me a fruit, flower, a leaf, or water with devotion, I will accept it.
If that's all you have, that's enough. It's the intention Krishna accepts. And that same spirit is the prime duty of a householder toward anyone who may come to their home. And Srila Prabhupada explains, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, that when such a guest comes to your house, you should beg them not to leave. Now that's... And you should feel really sad when they leave. If anyone wants to know why people join the Brahmachari Ashram, it's much easier in many ways. That type of love from the heart that you have for people who come, because this is Krishna's house, this is Krishna's property, and this is Krishna's guest. This formula is how you could actually have this consciousness. If you're thinking my house, my property, my food, my wealth, my body, then I'm giving what's mine. And what happens if there's not enough? But if you understand it's Krishna's, and this is Krishna's guest, hospitality. And actually this is described to be, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prime duty, dharma of a grihastha. Of course, to put Krishna in the center of house and sadhana and all of that. That is always there. But this is necessary. Because if we're not charitable, we become greedy and hard-hearted and selfish. Giving in charity, giving hospitality to others, is the medicine against the inevitable selfishness that accumulates within our heart. Srila Prabhupada tells, when he was a little boy, his father would invite every single day no less than 5 sadhus to his house. And before they would eat themselves, the family, they would feed all the sadhus to their heart's content and give them sweet words, and give them so much love. And the only thing Gaur Mohan Day would ask in return is, please bless my son to be a servant of Sri Radharani. A child being brought up in a house like that, what are their values? It's very important. And we can extend the same principle to our temples. Those who are managing and who are living within a temple of the Lord, we understand it's not our temple. This is Srila Prabhupada's temple. This is Radha Gopinath's temple. And the same principle, anyone who comes here is their guest. They're not just ordinary people. Lord Chaitanya was doing this when people came to his house, even ordinary people. If anyone comes here, they're Krishna's guest, they're Prabhupada's guest. And our foremost duty is hospitality. They should feel loved when they come to our homes. They should feel loved when they come to Prabhupada and Krishna's home. By our gestures, by our words, and by our genuine feelings. And that conquers people's hearts. Non-duplicitous love conquers hearts and makes their hearts open and receptive to philosophy and to spiritual practices. And Srila Prabhupada, he was like that. When he was personally greeting people at 26 Second Avenue or in Mayapur, how gracious was his hospitality. To make people feel loved. That's the objective. And whatever fulfills that objective, we accept what's favorable, we reject what's unfavorable. Srila Prabhupada said that we are not a movement of taking, we are a movement of giving. And the world must understand that. And whatever we take, it's to give. It's not to keep. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in that way. And Lakshmi Devi, she was such an incredible personification of a lady in the household. It describes her lifestyle. She would rise very early in the morning. She would bathe in Ganga. She would perform her sadhana. She would perform her worship. She had no assistant. She never had an assistant. She would do all the cleaning. She would do all the cooking. She would do all the everything. And she was always cheerful, always grateful. Not as an austerity, but because there was love in her heart. Every morning before Lord Chaitanya would even come into the temple room, she would decorate the whole. She would make the temple room absolutely clean, and she would make beautiful, beautiful designs on the floor with colored paste and colored flowers, all to be erased later the day and made again. She would do it several times a day. She would arrange for all the puja for the deity that Lord Chaitanya would do. She would make the sandalwood pulp. She would collect the tulsi leaves. She would make the incense. In those days, it's not that you just went to buy stocks of incense. You made incense. She would make the scents. She would grind the spices to make the achman and the madhupark and the argya. She'd have the ghee wicks made. She'd make the ghee by churning the butter. Not that she just got a can of ghee. Everything was so devotional. And then she cooked with whatever foods she had. She would cook the best possible prasad every day for the deities, all the offerings. And so many times the Vishwambar, her beloved husband, would invite guests, and she would be just cheerfully, blissfully grateful to cook. In this way, from early morning till late night, she was totally immersed in serving. With an absolutely joyful, gracious heart. Because Nimai and Lakshmi Devi, they were a team to serve Krishna, a team to serve the devotees, a team to serve all living beings. And Sachi Mata, she just enjoyed seeing Lakshmi Devi's devotion. It describes that every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, Sachi Devi's happiness was constantly expanding, seeing Lakshmi Devi. She had lost 8 daughters just after birth. Her eldest son left, renounced the world, never to be seen again. Her husband, Jagannath Mishra, had already passed away. All she had was Vishwambar. But he was out all day teaching and doing his various leelas in the Ganga. But Lakshmi Devi, Sachi Devi, imagine her happiness. Sachi Mata was getting old. And Vishwambar was her only reason to live, and to know that Vishwambar has a wife like this, so absolutely loving in such an unconditional, selfless way. She was the crest jewel of devotion. And Lakshmi Priya, every day, beyond her all these other duties, she very carefully served Tulsi Devi, knowing that Tulsi Devi is so very dear to Lord Vishnu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the Chaitanya Bhagavat to say, but even more careful she was about than worshipping Tulsi, which she was how she served constantly Sachimata. I guess I'm supposed to say some purport on that. When I was young, I used to listen to a song called the Mother-in-Law Blues. Because it's kind of a common scenario in the world where it's hard to live with a mother-in-law, either for the husband or the wife, depending on, you know, who's closest to who. But here we find Sachi Devi's the mother-in-law, and Lakshmi Devi, before Sachi Devi even wanted anything or needed anything, Lakshmi Devi understood what it was, because she was so tuned in to the heart of pleasing Sachi Devi. Sachi Devi had such a hard life, such a difficult life, so many deaths, so many struggles. But her life was absolutely blissful, because she was constantly being inundated with the love and the selfless service of Lakshmi Devi. She absolutely loved Sachimata and expressed her love for her at every moment. And Sachimata, feeling that, how wonderful this is for Nimai. He's going to be so happy. Even after I leave this world, he has such a companion. And therefore, every moment her bliss was increasing. And Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, upon seeing how Lakshmi Devi was taking care of the deities, the household, all the guests, and especially how she was taking care of his mother, he was extremely satisfied. He didn't even have to say it. His heart was shining with satisfaction. One day, Lord Chaitanya told Sachimata that I'm going to East Bengal, Bangladesh. I'll be back in a few days. That's what we always tell our mothers. And he told Lakshmi Devi, you please take care of my mother while I'm gone. Make her happy. And then Lord Chaitanya left. And with a few of his students, he traveled to Bangladesh. As he was walking, anybody who saw him was thrilled. While Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, even though he was very young, he was only a teenager, practically everybody honored him and respected him. Because of his virtuous, respectful, good qualities, his gracefulness, and because of his incredible capacity of knowledge. It's described when people would do a pious deed in Navadvip, before beginning they would send some gift to Nimai's house, because then everything would be auspicious. That was how he was attracting people. This is before he even established the Sankirtan movement. This is when he was Nimai Pandit.
Even when he showed arrogance by challenging people and defeating people, he did it in such a sweet way that he melted people's hearts. The devotees would say, why don't you worship Krishna? Why are you engaged in these academic... And Lord Chaitanya would sometimes, he would challenge them to debates on mundane subjects. But he did it in such a way that the devotees were irresistibly attracted just to be near him, to be with him, to be an object of his affection. So he left Navadvip to go to Bangladesh. And when he saw the Padmavati River, it was very wide with a very swift current, so beautiful. Imagine 500 years ago, before there were sewage canals and industrial waste being put in the rivers. There were no such things as that in those days. When people wanted to do the sewage stuff, they would just dig a hole in a field. Didn't go to the river. In fact, even when I was a sadhu, there was a certain... living with sadhus, there's certain etiquette toward the rivers. Even if you're going to dig a hole, and it has to be a good distance from the river, not close by, to honor the sanctity and the purity. Now you just go flush. And you just think, I have to say something about this, I guess. And you're just innocently just pushing the button or lowering the lever. So nice, so sweet and clean. Well, where's it going? So many parts of India, it's just thousands of accumulated... are all pouring like black poison into the rivers. It's very sad. But at our new Govardhan farm, we have a very nice system. How many of you have seen this system? Raise your hand. Completely natural. One of our devotees, a PhD professor from IIT, he did his thesis on this type of natural technology. Without electricity or just by natural ways, all the sewage, everything that comes through your sink and through your toilet and everything else goes into this big holding tank. It's quite big. And I'm not going to go through all the details. I don't even know them. But it gets filtered through different kinds of rocks and through different kinds of herbs and through different kinds of plants and grasses, and it settles in certain ways, and then it goes to another tank and it goes through this, and by the time it actually comes to the end, it's pure crystal clear water. Now, for sentimental reasons, we don't drink it. But it's actually very clean, pure water. And it gets put, either it goes to water the plants, or it goes to back into the system of the toilets, that where you don't drink that anyway. At least most people don't. So the reason why...
So when I saw this incredible processor, and this wonderful devotee, he got his PhD making it. I expressed my own thoughts. I said, "You are a PhD because you are a processor of human dung." Actually, the whole world could do things like this instead of polluting the rivers if we just understand the value of respecting the ecology and the environment. We can shift our technologies in such a way to do beautiful things to restore this world for spiritual, emotional, and physical health. Today, there's so many diseases due to pollution and stress. So when Lord Chaitanya saw the Padmavati River, it was so pure, so clean, beautiful flowers floating in it, and the water was like nectar. That's the way all the rivers were in those days. And he was so satisfied. For many days, he just lived on the banks of the Padmavati River with his devotees. And he would swim in the river, and he would play in the river. And it is described in the scripture how the same sanctity, purity, and blessing of Mother Ganga was now available in the Padmavati River. Ganga is especially sanctified when it washes the feet of Vamanadeva and comes to the world. And now the very source of Vamanadeva, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that Lord himself, is bathing every day. And from that day on, the Padmavati River is every bit as sanctified and gives every bit the blessings of Mother Ganga. Some Brahmins came to Lord Chaitanya at that time. And they said, "What a fortune we have! The great Nimai Pandit has come to this little place of Bangladesh." Said, "The best of the students of Bangladesh, they travel long distances, they leave their homes just to study under Nimai Pandit in Navadweep. And now Nimai Pandit has come to us." Said, "We are some of the greatest of the scholars and the teachers of Bangladesh. And we want to tell you, Nimai, that whatever we teach is based on what you have spoken and the literatures that you have given us. You are our guru. And now you've come here. We're a poor nation. We don't have so much. Please teach us. What you teach your students in Navadweep, teach us here now that you're here." Lord Vishwambar said, "Yes, I will." And soon hundreds and hundreds of students were coming to him. And he was teaching them. He stayed there for 2 months. And interestingly, any student that studied under him for that 2 months, he certified as being one of his students. He gave them particular titles. Nimai Pandit was giving them titles according to their learning capacity. And what it would normally take a person 12 or 20 years to learn, every one of his students mastered it in 2 months. That was the type of teaching techniques that Nimai Pandit used. What was the primary technique he had? Kripa. Grace. sarvasya chaham hridi shanivishtom atasmiti jnana papohanam cha vidaishta sarvairaham eva vidyot vidanta kridveda videva chaham. Krishna tells, I am the source of remembrance and knowledge and forgetfulness. That is God. He's within the heart. He's within the heart of every living being. So when the Lord wants to, if the students were eager to learn with a humble disposition, tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. The Bhagavad Gita explains, this is how we should learn from a guru. We should be submissive. We should be eager to learn. We should inquire with a genuine enthusiasm to learn. And we should be very, very enthusiastic to serve. How many of you have tried the son papri that is made by the brahmacharis here at Radha Gopinath Temple? Please raise your hands. It appears that we are not making enough. Anyways, this is a very famous sweetmeat that is coming from Govardhan. And people from all over the world go to this one shop at Govardhan to eat this sweet. Its flavor and its texture is quite unparalleled. And so many people have tried to make it, but they failed. I know so many people from so many temples all over the world who want to make this for their deities. And it comes out like chalk. Like eating some of that yellow chalk. That or it may taste a little good, but there's nothing. The texture, the flavor, how do they do it? It's impossible. We even had some of our best cooks here at Radha Gopinath Temple trying to make it. And they'd very happily come and say, this is what we made, this is what we made. We spent so long studying and trying to do it. And I would... No, they're my worshipable mothers. I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's very good, but, you know, keep trying. Keep trying. But really incredible, because all these ladies who are fantastic connoisseur cooks for their whole lives, making all sorts of Indian preparations and Maharashtrian preparations and Bengali preparations and Punjabi preparations and Gujarati preparations, and they extend in, you know, South Indian preparations. Then they learn all these Chinese and Italian stuff. And anyone who comes to their home, they, oh, such incredible prasad. These are like champion cooks that we have in our congregation among the ladies. But when it came to son papri, no way. So brahmacharis, they're not famous for being great cooks or anything, but they're surrendered sometimes. So we sent some brahmachari to Govardhan to learn how to make son papri from the people who are the only people on the planet who make it like this. And it's a secret recipe. And of course, you know, we went on yatras and we bought sweets for 5,000 people.
people a day from this shop, so they were favorable toward us.
But, you know, if you asked the devotees who went there, Radhaduti Prabhu and Damodar Jai Sachinandan Radhaduti Prabhu, talk to them. When they went, they were not taught anything. They had to clean the floors. They had to scrub the paths. They had to cut stuff. They didn't do any cooking at the beginning. They were just doing menial service. And, you know, I don't know what they were thinking, but the thought could have been, I came here to learn how to make this, and all they just have me working, and they're not paying. You know, from a material perspective, it seems that they were like, you know, we're just doing all kinds of hard labor, washing big pots, and they burn their pots a lot, and it's washing and washing and arranging and cleaning, and we're not getting paid anything for it. Yes? But actually, that's the traditional method. That before your heart is really fertile to actually digest the seed of knowledge, you have to be in the right state of mind. An enthusiasm to serve, an eagerness to learn, to be humble and submissive. So they did it. They washed pots, they cleaned. They helped to stir. They didn't know what they were stirring, but they were stirring over fires. They were getting their hands burnt, because you have to actually handle this when it's burning hot with your fingers. They were getting burnt. They were working hard, long hours. And in the end, by the time they actually were given the recipes, they could do it. And when they came back and made it, there were devotees who lived in Vrindavan for many years and who used to go to Giriraj Govardhan just to get those son papris. When they took it from our Radha Gopinath Mahaprasad, they said, this is at least as good as what is at Govardhan. But it was the traditional method. They were like an apprentice to a teacher. And that type of learning, that type of knowledge is almost lost in the world today. But it's something very sacred. It was the tradition throughout the world at one time. So all of these students, they came before Nimai and they were so submissive and they were so eager to serve him in every way that he reciprocated and gave them 20 years worth of education in 2 months and the power to remember everything. While he was away, his beloved wife Lakshmi Devi, she was feeling such intense separation from her Lord. Please understand that Lakshmi Devi is the goddess of fortune, the eternal consort of Krishna. She was feeling so much separation. She could hardly eat anything. It is described that she would not allow Sachimata to understand the pain of her heart. There was an uncontrollable fire of feelings of love and separation from Lord Chaitanya. She couldn't sleep at night. All night, she would just cry, remembering the Lord within her heart, cry and cry and cry. That was the nature of her love. A moment in separation from him was like 12 years or more, what to speak of months of separation. But she concealed the pain of her heart from Sachi.
because she didn't want to cause her any pain. She didn't say a single word to anyone. She was in the highest, deepest state of samadhi, spiritual absorption in the Supreme. And when it came to its ultimate culmination, she went to the bank of the Ganga, Mother Ganges, and she sat, and in the core of her heart, her body, mind, words, life, her entire consciousness, her every thought was deeply immersed in the ocean of remembrance of Lord Gauranga. And in that state, she totally gave herself to him. And then did something extraordinary. By her own transcendental powers, her original spiritual body left this world to return to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, to be reunited with her beloved Lord eternally. And in the meanwhile, by her own will, she left a duplicate spiritual body of herself on the bank of the Ganga. When Sachimata heard that her daughter-in-law had passed away, we had explained how happy she was at every moment. And now, to the degree she was happy, there was that sorrow. Who's going to take care of my son? Who's going to be with him? She was the goddess of Sachi's life, her heart. Sachi couldn't say a word to anyone. Meanwhile, it was time for Nimai to return back to Navadvipa. So he announced his departure. And so many students and scholars and everybody were coming to the bank of the Padma River to say goodbye to him and give him gifts. And he was there, reciprocating with their affection. At that time, one great Brahmin scholar named Tapan Mishra, who we are reading about in today's verse, he had spent his whole life seeking satya and sadhana. What is the goal of life and how to reach it? Interestingly, he chanted the name of Krishna. And he was a profound scholar of the Vedic scriptures. But without understanding the process of bhakti, under a teacher of bhakti, even if you chant the names of God and even if you read all the scriptures, you can't really understand what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. He was so intensely determined to find this out. He had a nice family. He had nice everything. But without understanding the goal of life and how to achieve it, it was all like an empty shell. He studied deeper, deeper, more and more. He chanted more and more. He went to so many people, scholars, holy men, to ask from them. But he was never satisfied. He was immersed in prayer. Please, God, give me direction. And late one night, he had a dream. In that dream, a deva, a demigod, appeared to him and told him, because of your sincerity to understand the sadhya and the sadhana, the goal of life and the path to achieve it, I will reveal to you the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. The God of all creation has descended into this world as Nimai Pandit. And he's now on the banks of the Padma River in Bangladesh teaching. Not far from here. Go to him. go to him and he will explain you what is the ultimate goal of life and the path to achieve it. But do not tell anyone that I told you who he is. If you do, you will suffer birth after birth after birth. He got up from his sleep. He was crying. There was hope. There was great hope. And he came running to the place where Lord Chaitanya was just about to leave. And there was hundreds and hundreds of people around him, joking with him and giving him very nice tokens of appreciation and bowing to him and talking to him and getting some last instructions from him. And Tapan Mishra comes in and falls at the Lord's feet. And Tapan Mishra told him, "My whole life I have been searching, but I have not found what I'm looking for. Yes, I have read so many scriptures and so many philosophy books and so many teachings of other teachers. And I've been chanting God's names. But I haven't found the solution. Please tell me, what is the true goal of life and how can I gain it?" Lord Chaitanya smiled at him. He said, "You are so fortunate that you have this eagerness. Because you're chanting God's names and because you're studying these scriptures with an eagerness to learn, now by the mercy of the Lord you've come to me. This is your good fortune." Enthusiasm, eagerness, is a necessary ingredient for spiritual progress. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, unless you have enthusiasm from a spiritual perspective, you're practically dead. Sarinbatam Sukata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana. This beautiful verse tells, when we are eager to hear about Krishna, then Krishna within our heart is so pleased, he reveals the truth to us. We should be eager in whatever we're doing. Nothing is just ritualistic. Nothing should simply be a formality. What does enthusiasm mean? Enthusiasm means it's coming from the heart. It's with a will. When we chant the names of the Lord, it should be with enthusiasm. When we're coming to hear the class or study the scriptures, it should be with enthusiasm, with eagerness to learn, eagerness to access, eagerness to connect. And when we serve, whether we're serving the Lord in the altar or whether we're serving the devotees or whether we're serving the order of the guru or whether we're serving the common people of the world, it should be with eagerness. It should be with purpose, with meaning. If we don't have a purpose or meaning to what we're doing, we cannot be eager. And that's why it's so important. Nasta prayeshya badreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. To hear. When we hear from the right sources, it nourishes the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. And with that purpose, we can have enthusiasm. I was at a lecture with Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada was emphasizing the importance of enthusiasm. He said, if you're not enthusiastic, then you're like a dead person, spiritually. And somebody asked, what if I don't feel enthusiastic? And Srila Prabhupada said, if for the right purpose you act enthusiastic, then Krishna will see your sincerity and give you the enthusiasm. Nothing is cheap. So much is based on our motivation, our intention. But our intention has to be activated with enthusiasm. The feelings may be there, or they may come later. Our motive is more important than our feeling.
because the mind changes our feelings from moment to moment sometimes. Sometimes I really feel like doing something good for my brother. And other times I don't feel like it at all. But if we have the right motive, we will do it anyway. I may not feel like chanting, or I may feel like chanting. It doesn't really make that much difference. I do it with enthusiasm because it pleases Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya was congratulating his good fortune for having this enthusiasm. Vyabhashayatma kabudhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka yanantascha budhayo vyabhashayana. Krishna tells in Gita, those who are on this path are resolute. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. Doesn't mean you're sectarian. It means you really are focused on the essence, saragrahi. Tapan Mishra, he had such incredible scholarship. Why was he dissatisfied? Because he wasn't satisfied with all the philosophical explanations. He wasn't satisfied with all the ritualistic ways of attaining it. He wanted the essence. He was seeking the essence. And he wouldn't settle for anything less than the essence. In religion today, you see all too often that a process that's supposed to create love creates hate. A process that's supposed to empower you to see the divinity in every living being causes you to persecute and discriminate. A process that's most supposed to unite divides. A process that's supposed to free you from envy gives absolute justification with philosophical, scriptural reason to be envious. Saragrahi. Because very few people want to seek the essence. Srila Prabhupada explained any religion that teaches people practically how to love God and transform people's consciousness to actually love God. And love of God means no envy, no hatred. If you love God, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, it manifests as compassion to all beings. That is true religion. Essence. You are seeking the essence. You're not satisfied with anything less. That is your good fortune. And now I will teach you what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. The goal of life is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Krishna is all attractive, the enchanter of every heart. And the way to attain that love for Krishna in this age is chanting the Lord's holy names. In every age, the Lord descends to teach the process that is most powerful and authorized at that time. The Lord appeared in a white complexion to teach meditation and Satya Yuga, in a red complexion to teach Yajna, in the Treta Yuga. He came as Krishna. He came with a dark, bluish complexion to teach the worship of him in the Dwapara Yuga. And in the age of Kali, the recommended process is the chanting of the names of God. The Lord quoted from Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskuran dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord descends again and again and again for this purpose. And then he quoted a beautiful verse. Hadarnama, Hadarnam, Hadarnam eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata.
In this age of Kali, there is no other way for achieving that highest limits of ecstatic love of God than the chanting of the names, chanting of the names, the chanting of the names of Lord Hari.
And Lord Chaitanya said, I am now going to give you a mantra.
Please understand, by chanting the names of the Lord in this spirit, all the other processes are fulfilled and included.
Now hear carefully as I give you a 16-word, 32-syllable mantra, which is the Maha Mantra, the greatest of all mantras. And for the first time in our Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, historically, Lord Chaitanya is directly revealing within the scripture the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at this scene on the bank of the Padma River in Bangladesh to Tapan Mishra. The Lord said, this mantra you should chant. Repeat after me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
He said, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. Whether you're eating, sleeping, walking, wherever you may be doing your work, just repeat this beautiful Maha Mantra. And the Lord explained, simply chant this mantra without duplicity. That was his instruction. This is very powerful. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting the Lord's name. But the Lord explained, he gave this one principle which is so powerful, but so difficult. If we want to access the power of God's names, we must live without duplicity. That doesn't mean that when you sit down to chant, you don't have duplicity. It means your life has to be without duplicity. Because what your life is what you come to the altar of the holy name with when you do come to chant. Simple living, high thinking. Not to have a separate agenda. Not to have hidden motives. Not to have selfish desires cloaked by a holy appearance. To be without duplicity means Trinadapi Sunichena Tador Ivasihishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Just after, a little later, when Lord Chaitanya is in Navadvip, after establishing the Kirtan movement, he says, take this verse. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. Take this verse that empowers you to chant the name of the Lord constantly. Put it on the string of the holy name and wear it always. If you're humble, you're not duplicitous. Duplicity is a symptom of false ego, of false pride. The Lord didn't just tell him, chant Hare Krishna. He told him, chant without duplicity. And you will attain the ultimate goal. Tapan Mishra was so happy. He fell at the Lord's feet and said, I want to tell you a secret. I can't say it in front of all these other people, because we heard what would happen if he did. He said, this magnificent personality appeared in me, my dream, and revealed to me that you are the supreme Lord of all lords. And Lord Chaitanya said,
do not tell anyone what you have heard.
And then Tapanmesha said, I would like to come back to Navadvip and Mayapur with you. Because actually, many students were going to come with Lord Chaitanya back to Navadvip. Tapanmesha said, I want to come with you. Please allow me to come with you. Lord Chaitanya was going to go back, and not long after that, he was going to establish the Kirtan, Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya told Tapanmishra, I want you to go to Varanasi and reside there. Now this is a big surrender. He's willing to leave, take his family and home and go to Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya says, you're willing to go? Go to Varanasi. There wasn't a single devotee in Varanasi. It was the high seat of the whole planet for Mayavad philosophy, where Vaishnavas, devotees, were attacked and ridiculed. And he would be the only one there, practically. But Lord Chaitanya knows past, present, and future. He was living like a householder. He hadn't begun the Sankirtan movement yet. But he knew in the future he would take sannyas. And he knew in the future he would go to Varanasi. And while in Varanasi, the most extensive teachings he had ever given anyone, he would give to Sanatan Goswami. Years later, on the banks of the river Ganga in Varanasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to speak for 2 continuous months, all day, every day, from the most fundamental teachings to the most highest rasika revelations to Sanatana Goswami, to teach sadhya, the goal of life, and sadhana, the path to reach it. And because Tapanmishra was so very, very eager to learn, Lord Chaitanya told him, by chanting this Maha Mantra without duplicity, the seed of love of God within your heart will sprout, it will blossom, and it will grow. And just keep chanting. And come to Varanasi, and I will come there, and I will instruct you. During that 2-month discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, Tapanmishra was sitting beside the Lord, hearing everything. How would you like to have been there for that? The essence of it is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But that dialogue we could read in Chaitanya Charitamrita in a few hours. The Lord Chaitanya was speaking about 12 hours a day for 60 days. What a blessing. He was eager to hear, and he was going to hear more than anybody has ever heard. Krishna spoke the Gita in just a couple hours to Arjuna. And a teaching even beyond the Gita, Lord Chaitanya was going to speak for 2 months consecutively to Sanatana Goswami and Tapanmishra. For the welfare of the whole world, for all time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took leave. Later on, Tapanmishra did go to Varanasi. And there he had a son. His name was Raghunath Bhatta, who later became the great Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the greatest spiritual acharya saints that ever lived. And Raghunath Bhatta had no interest in anything material. He wanted to just, when Lord Chaitanya came to Varanasi, Raghunath Bhatta was just a little boy and he massaged Lord Chaitanya's feet and massaged his legs and did simple services for him, and Lord Chaitanya blessed him. And when Raghunath Bhatta grew older, he came to Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was living as a sannyasi. And he would spend 9 months just doing service and being with all the devotees. Lord Chaitanya sent him home. And then he came back, spent 9 months. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you should go back to your home and serve your mother and father as long as they live. And after that, you could come back here. That was how much affection Lord Chaitanya had for Tapan Mishra. He knew that serving a great Vaishnav is the most precious thing that there is. So, back to our story, Lord Chaitanya returned to Navadvip. And everyone was so happy to greet him, but they didn't want to tell him about the departure of Lakshmi Devi, because it was such a happy reception for him. Sati Mata, she greeted him, and she somehow or other held back her sorrow and her tears and smiled. And, "I'm so happy you're home, my son." And all the relatives and friends and everyone else was gathered around, and they were joking and talking, and he was telling about what happened in Bangladesh. And they were all so blissful to have the Lord back, but no one dared to tell the news. Of course, the Lord knows everything. And Sachi Mata practically the whole time just stayed alone in her room crying. She couldn't bear that Lakshmi Devi had left. And Lord Chaitanya left everyone else at a certain point and came to Sachi Devi's room. And Sachi Devi could not even look at him, although she tried to make him happy. He said, "My mother, I'm home. And I had such a successful expedition to Bangladesh, and I brought so many gifts for you in the household. Why are you not happy?" "I see in your eyes, I see in your face such deep sorrow." And then one of the relatives told Lord Chaitanya that Lakshmi Devi has left us. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes Lord Chaitanya put his head down and was engulfed in an ocean of separation from his beloved wife. The feelings of the love between the Lord and the devotees, there's nothing material about it. It's transcendental. It's on the level of the soul. And to pacify his mother, Lord Chaitanya explained that the relationships in this world of father, mother, brother, children, friends, they are all on the basis of this body. But the body's always changing. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara. The eternal soul passes from childhood to youth, to adolescence, to old age, and ultimately the body dies. But the soul is eternal. The soul is part of Krishna, the living force, the Atma. And by the grace of the Lord, we have beautiful relationships within this world. But by the nature of the world, which is also ultimately the grace of the Lord, everything has a beginning and end. Lakshmi Devi was totally immersed in thoughts of Krishna.
So for sure she has attained the ultimate destination.
Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevaram. Krishna said, whatever one remembers at the time of death, that determines the destination of the soul. And whatever our consciousness is cultivated in life, that will determine that last thought at death. Antakali chamameva smaran maktva kalevaram. Krishna says, one who remembers me at the time of death will attain me without fail. But we can't just decide to remember Krishna at the time of death. Whatever is most prominent in life is what is going to appear to us at death. Lakshmi has attained perfection. But I'm still here with you, my mother. In this way, the Lord, in such an intimate and sweet way, showed such love and kindness to his beloved mother, Sachimata. And for Sachi Devi, Lord Chaitanya was the all in all, the everything. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the persuasion of Sachi Devi, he married Vishnupriya a little later. And after some time, he decided to go to Gaya to perform the Shraddha for his father. There he met his Gurudev, Ishwarapuri, and took initiation. And it was at that point that the ecstatic love of Sri Radha manifested from his heart. And he returned to Navadvip to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And we will discuss some things of that subject this afternoon. Actually, in a couple hours. For those of you who want to have breakfast prasad, or maybe we should call it lunch prasad, we will conclude our Gaur Purnima festival this afternoon with kirtan, katha, and wonderful feast. I thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki,
Srimad Radharaj Swami Maharaj ki.